Welcome back and happy Tuesday. Coming at you again for another week of interesting content. We will be covering COVID again, but from a very different perspective this time, really how the industry is coping with the pandemic. In this case, we're referring primarily to the financial service industry, but definitely the tech industry. And I have a longtime friend and person that I admire greatly in Leslie Campisi here with me, who is a 20-year tech veteran, has spent a lot of time in-house on the tech PR side of things and also in-house on the VC side. So definitely has that duplex background, seeing it from both sides of the table, which I love, gives a lot of perspective. So Leslie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Scarlett.
Happy to have you on here finally. It's taken a long time to get here, but we're here.
Made it.
So let's start with the VC hat just for a second. I cannot get on social channels, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, without someone talking about the impact of this pandemic on the venture space and in the investment space, and money's drying up and oh my God, what's happening? So I'm just, how from that lens, what are your thoughts on where we're going and what that looks like from the VC side?
Yeah, well, as you noted in my beautiful intro, I most recently spent 4 years in-house as chief marketing officer at a fintech VC, and thinking about, you know, what VCs are, what's going through their minds at this time. You know, VCs are almost always in perpetual fundraising cycles, right? So depending on where a VC is as it relates to closing the next fund, that'll dictate probably how high their stress levels are. Those that have recently closed funds, you know, in the past 3 or 6 months are going to be in deployment mode, and they're going to be spending a lot of attention, not just looking for, obviously, for the right deals, but also helping their portfolio companies figure out how to survive and thrive in this new environment. I, you know, if you are a great VC and you really believe in your thesis, I don't think you're worried about, I don't know how worried you are about this, because if you have the returns that demonstrate to LPs that you know what you're doing, and a great healthy portfolio, I think you welcome the quote unquote dumb money getting out of the market. And as you know, you don't, I'm sure I could like pull up the right CB Insights chart for this moment, but we've seen fintech venture funding really skyrocket, and there's just so much noise and frothiness, as we like to say. So I think, you know, for the confident VCs, now is not a time to panic. Now, from an, you know, who knows what is going through the minds of their LPs. So I think looking closely at the VC-LP relationship, who's got those LPs that have been with them fund over fund, versus new relationships or out fundraising to, you know, net new LPs. You know, that could be a little bit scary in this moment.
Absolutely. Speaking of scary, let's move over to the other side of the table, which is the startup founders, which I know you and I have had conversations about, but both have a direct passion and interest there. Being a startup founder, you are already putting yourself into such a level of instability and ambiguity, and you know, there's already short runways. There's already a lot of, you know, lack of knowing what's coming next and a lot of hope and crossing fingers. And of course, you know, the hustle and drive and right product market fit and all of those aspects. But what, you know, from the conversations that you've been having and from, you know, what mm-hmm. you're aware of, what's going through the minds of these founders now? And, you know, what are they thinking about? What's top of mind in this current state?
Yeah, I think that there's a way to look at this from a business perspective. So what does this new, the new normal mean for the actual business of the startup? And then there's, what does it mean for the running of the startup, the kind of organizational, operational challenges? And the startups that I'm talking to these days are facing both of those things. On the former, when it comes to, you know, what their actual product and go-to-market is, it varies so widely because, you know, I'm sure you've had other guests and other conversations talking about the types of startups that are most likely to succeed in this new environment. Everybody's talking about telehealth. I would also argue things related to education, there's a great Scott Galloway article in New York Magazine, right, about the future of higher ed, particularly, and how all that is going to change. And I'm also, you know, if you are in the privacy, security kind of data zone, I could see how this could play well for you. I am very close with a mortgage startup, and this is a great time for them with interest rates being so low, believe it or not. Even with the economic crisis, people are really racing to close new mortgages, which is exciting. So I think it, you know, it varies. I'm way more dialed in at the moment, just from a philosophical perspective, on what does this new way of working mean for startups. And I think startups, as they often do, have a great advantage, because many of the startups that I know, whether portfolio companies of my former VC, or just in general, they're very used to operating with distributed teams, and they have great business practices on how to interact, how to share information ambiently and transparently, and how to make decisions as a remote team. Now, on the other side, you know, when you think about a classic startup environment, you think about people crammed together in a room and the energy that group of people can raise just in the sheer proximity of each other and how exciting that is. And often how that vibe is what can attract an investor or make an investor say yes, right? Experiencing what this team is actually like. So again, no obvious answers here. Some startups are great at the stuff that I described. Certainly they have a leg up on corporates, I think, who are struggling to figure out, you know, how to have people work remotely. But you do lose perhaps some of that startup magic that not just investors, but also people that love to work at startups or who want to be in a startup environment are looking for.
Yeah, you are so spot on so many points there. And I think there is that indescribable vibe and energy that you get when you have that in-person interaction. And especially, I have had some conversations with founders who are actually hiring. They're in that position where they do want to make those hires. And for while it is definitely the employer's market these days, still, if there's a really great candidate, they do usually still have options. And how do you convey why we're so special when you're doing it over camera and there's not that same level of connection and vibe? Because, you know, like when you walk into a place, you're either feeling it or you're not. So there's a lot to be said there. So if there was maybe, because I know you think about this a lot, if there were maybe one or two quick things, you know, pieces of advice that you would give to these startup founders as they're going through all the complexities of operating in this, as you said, new normal, what would they be if you give them a piece of advice or maybe two?
Yeah. I think that now is an interesting time to entertain bold moves. I think that startups shouldn't be afraid to do something, to make a choice or to take a decision that might have seemed crazy a couple months ago. The reality is 2019 is not coming back. So if you're a startup that is hanging on thinking, oh, when all this settles down and things, no. Think, orient your gaze to the future and make the bold decisions that take you there, not to the past, even if it was, you enjoyed 2019, and I did. The other thing is super obvious, but I care so much about the health and well-being and resilience of founders, so much so that I actually became a wellness coach, and I work with a lot of founders and founding teams on their wellness. And I'm hoping that during this time, people are still finding ways to step away from the screen, unplug, take time off, allow their teammates to take time off, and to really use the new environment that you're working in, your home, as a place to explore being a little kinder and gentler to yourself too. So you're way more in control of what you eat when you work from home, which is, you know, a blessing and a curse, but it can be a blessing. You can sleep a little bit later, right? And in New York City, here where I am, you can still take a walk too. So I would encourage people not to wake up at 6 a.m. and log into their laptops from their pajamas. You know, all that startup hustle culture stuff, like, it's obvious to see it when you're in that vibey, buzzy environment. But if you're at home, who are you trying to impress? Right? Take a shower, eat something. Don't feel that now, if you were working 12 hours a day, you can work 14 hours a day. It's not healthy for you. And because of that, it's not healthy for your team and your company.
Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. And there was we did do a previous post with someone on the remote employee. And it was funny because you talked about the juxtaposition of startup versus corporate. And corporate, there's a lot of intensity and scrutiny on, well, we need to make sure that we're measuring and monitoring productivity. But the data suggests actually exactly what you said, which is the productivity has actually gone up since people have been home. And while that's good at a high level statistical aspect, the concern is what you're referring to now, which is it's so easy and tempting to get up and the first thing you do is to get on your computer. Now you don't even have that time. Not that most of us, especially, you know, you and I being transplant New Yorkers here, that, you know, we wouldn't use that commute time to still be productive. There's still headspace time that you have in that commute that now is gone.
Yes.
But it's still important to take those moments to remember there is a disconnect between work and home. So I'm in total agreement. Such great thoughts, Leslie. Thank you so much. I appreciate your perspective. Love your journey. I've always loved the way that you think about things and have come from such a unique lens, and I've always enjoyed that. So thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. That's so kind, Scarlett. It's so great to be here with you.
Absolutely. So for all of you, please click on the link below. You will hear more about Leslie's thoughts. She may share one or two other tips for you down in the link below. You'll get her full Q&A. And if you have any questions for her directly or you want to contact her, her info is at the bottom of the screen. And until next week, we look forward to seeing you again.